I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome back to the FPL Roundtable, the only fantasy Premier League podcast where we guarantee that you might learn something about fantasy. Probably. Joining me as always is my good friend and partner in crime, Rob Langevin. Rob, we're going to do something a little bit different today. We're just going to go through all the fixtures for this coming week, not the past one, because that wouldn't make any sense. But game week 14, as you may know as you're listening to this, is just 2 days away from the end of match week 13. So we haven't had a lot of time to prep or anything, so we figure this is the easiest way to just divvy out some knowledge before we get going. Rob, any final or first thoughts before we get into it?
No, I mean, let's just jump into it. You know, it's a truncated week. You know, it's 2 days in between. There's not going to be much, you know, managerial news or anything that we can really rely on because, you know, they're probably not going to give us much because they don't want to give away too many details of their own team without hurting their own team against their opponent.
Yep.
But, you know, that's a typical way. It's like the New England Patriot rules of, you know, injury reports.
Basically. Or like Tom Brady was hurt for 7 years.
Yeah. But yeah, it's hilarious. yeah, I mean, I'm coming off another – that's two down weeks in a row for me in the world of FPL, point accumulation. But I'm still muddling along. You know, yeah. This is a game that endures patience. And so there is no more time to be patient. Basically, is what's going on.
Be patient until you can't be anymore. Yeah, really actually had a really good week. I was just telling you before we hit record, I could have had an even better week with my sneaky Moreno and Ward calls, but then both of them conceding after the 80th minute just to ruin my whole day.
Stupid Lee Mason. What a donkey.
What a jerk.
What a donkey.
Yeah, that was a penalty call. We won't discuss the quality of it here.
Well, I'll tell you the stat that you just told me off air.
Oh, great.
That Lee Mason, he's had Arsenal 13 times the last 13 times he's had Arsenal, they have won. So
It's true.
I'm not saying Lee Mason's an Arsenal fan, but I bet you he owns their jersey.
But I'm not saying that. I think
not saying
that's the important part. All right, now that we've already riled up potentially the FA and definitely the Arsenal listeners to the show, we'll just jump into it. So the first listed fixture on the official site right now is going to be Brighton versus Crystal Palace. Names and note, obviously, Pascal Gross is going to get a lot of love. Already saw somebody talk about how Gross had an assist this weekend because he ended with 5 points. Actually untrue. Just got 3 points from his bonuses. Didn't actually notch anything. Question for you quickly. Do you consider that a blank or no?
No, because I think that the 3 points is not something you can rely on as much as like an assist or a goal, and getting it and not actually getting a tally in your favor is a complete boon to his ownership. And if you owned him, you're definitely not counting that as a blank 100%.
Yeah, it's the benefit of having the best player on a team, just like Sigurdsson used to be for Swansea. But obviously Gross is the way to go here. I was impressed by Tom Ince at times today. Wait, that's Huddersfield. Jokes.
Oh, you're wrong.
So this is what happens when we don't have prep. But no, I think Gross is obviously the Brighton guy that you're interested in. But also on the Crystal Palace side, you know, we've been talking about Zaha a lot. Unfortunately, has now dropped out of our beloved T-Bucks, the top five anyway. But of note is that Townsend and Kabai are top five each in both chances created and accurate crosses. Which means with Benteke getting more and more involved, he got 45 minutes this week after just playing about 20 the week before. He would be the beneficiary of those statistics. So just keep an eye. I know a lot of people wrote off Crystal Palace early. I know a lot of people basically forgot about Benteke because he was hurt, and then Crystal Palace were awful. But just keep an eye on that. If Townsend and Kabai are creating at that level, you figure Zaha will start doing so as well. You know, that attack leads to 1 point, and that's going to be Benteke.
Yeah, the thing I liked about the Crystal Palace attack in the game that they just played was Townsend basically played next to Zaha way up top of the pitch. He wasn't playing more at a wide position a lot of the time in the game, and that's basically allowed him to get an assist on the goal that he did. So, you know, I'm not saying it's going to continue if and when Benteke does come back, but him being up top more and in a more, you know, frontal role for Palace gives him a lot more offensive weapons. So, I mean, the usual thoughts of Crystal Palace not being the goal-threatening or goal-scoring team, I think they're starting to come around and blossom with each other, you know, with Kabai being, you know, the main horseman behind the top scoring guys. You know, their involvement there is only gonna flow. You know, the secondary stats are eventually going to catch up to the FPL stats, whether it be by hook or by crook or by luck. But it's eventually going to happen. So, I mean, the outlying stats are there for Kabai and for Townsend to actually be, you know, contributory factors to the Crystal Palace buildup. And it's only going to get better. Or, I mean, with a name like Benteke, he's going to draw attention at the very least, and it'll open up the pitch for Zaha or Townsend.
Yeah, also, I know you don't believe in these, Rob, but potential revenge game for Glenn Murray, who, of course, used to play for Crystal Palace. the second match on the slate here is Leicester versus Tottenham. Leicester a bit of a mixed bag this season. They're bottom 10 in defense. Their attack, you know, we've always discussed, it's hard to pin down their attacking statistics and get much out of them because of how strange they play because of the counterattack. So they have fewer overall chances, but they have typically a higher percentage of good chances. I do think there are mistakes in this Tottenham defense, as we've seen the last couple of weeks. I think you're starting your Vareses. Like, I wouldn't sell them just because of this matchup. I think Tottenham are struggling a little bit without Toby Alderweireld. Obviously, all your Tottenham guys, in theory, you like. Eriksen has now blanked, what is it, 4 or 5 times in a row now? Man, it's starting to feel like time to get rid.
It is time. If you own Eriksen, now is the time. Unfortunately, their fixtures are sort of, you know, they're in his favor. They're at Leicester, they're at Watford, they're home to Stoke, they're home to Brighton. Those are the next four before they get City in the middle of December. You know, the game against Watford looks like an easy game, but Watford's is legitimately no joke at home. They are a true contender now. I think Watford is pushing for the top 8. You know, easily, I think they're going to be in the top 8 as it sits right now because I think they have the talent there. But I know we're talking about Spurs. Yeah, but if you're a Christian Eriksen owner right now, the panic button has been pushed. And with the options out there right now, what we just saw from Eden Hazard, basically bossing that game, and the only reason people were stopping him is because he got fouled like every single time he got the ball. And, you know, Sanchez is on penalty kicks now, I guess, for Arsenal. So there's that added in there. But those are like higher priced options. But, you know, given Eriksen's not, you know, middle 9 price tag, depending on where you brought him in, you know, you've got to sell. You've got to sell here. He's scheduled to go down before the next game week because of all the blanks basically he's been giving you, and the attributes that people are going around him. Yeah, it's time to sell. I'm sorry. And the Spurs defense, you know, what do they have? 1 clean in their last 6, I believe. One in the last 6. That's not very good at all. 1 in 6. That's not good at all.
There you go. Pogba blank this week. Last week we said Eriksen to Pogba. Would you still do that to free up some funds as well?
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, if you're trading down at midfield, where are you going with that money? People probably own Morata at this point. People probably own Kane at this point. So, I mean, if you're going to reinvest the money into somewhere, where is it going to go? So I think the thing to do now is, if you waited on Eriksen and didn't go down to Pogba last week to get in at his 8.0, and now you're looking at it, I think the only place to go now is to go up from Eriksen.
Interesting. I do think Tottenham win this one. I'm going to guess 2-1 to borrow a style from our other show.
Yeah, I just the way Spurs is playing defensively, I mean, you're right, they do miss Toby. Toby is the rudder there. I like Davinson Sanchez. He's just not himself.
So talented. He's just young.
Yeah, he just doesn't have that guy next to him with the experience, and Toby's that guy. I think Leicester will get on the board. It's probably going to be a Vardy goal for anybody who's you know, shown the patience with Vardy. He's consistent. He's like vanilla ice cream. You know, when in doubt, go to Jamie Vardy ice cream.
I thought you were going to say he's like vanilla ice, and that's a whole different conversation for a different time. Next up,
word to your mother.
Nice. Next up, Pogba is a pretty good link to the next matchup here. We have Manchester United versus Watford. As you mentioned, Watford are typically very good at home. After a whole week of us talking about how Manchester United were just going to score oodles and oodles of goals now that Pogba was back, they scored just one, and it's the massively owned Ashley Young. That's sarcasm, by the way.
Yeah.
Which way do you think we'll see this one going? Obviously, United are going to be the favorites, but you know, Watford have some sneaky options. Will Hughes notches again? Obviously, they have Richarlison, who continues to be effective, got an assist in the last match.
Yeah, Watford is definitely on the tip of everyone's tongue right now because of what they're doing and the prices that they have. You know, you got to look at guys like Marvin Ziegler, or is a fine OOP option right now, and Will Hughes, as you mentioned. I'm basically calling them Ebony and Extremely Ivory as the new Watford tandem. So anybody that's copyrighted and TM'd, so you can't steal it. But yeah, they're firm. Watford is firmly on the tip of fantasy minds right now because of the price tags that they have. Look at what they did over the weekend. Richarlison got involved, Hughes got involved, Andre Gray got involved. It brings up an interesting point, Kev. I want to ask you this: when Troy Deeney is fit and healthy and coming back, he is the captain there. Do you think he gets significant minutes there with as well as they've been playing without him?
I think he'll get some minutes before January.
Yeah,
you know what I mean, just like with all the rotation that happens. But I don't think he will anytime soon be like the guy there again up front. I think Richarlison and Andre Gray have really started to form a good pairing, and I doubt they'd want to mess with that anytime soon.
Absolutely not. And Deeney's not a bad option to come off the bench for a Watford team because he is a good team spiritual leader. And he
ram too up against defenses that are already tired.
Absolutely. He's always near the leaders when he gets you know positive minutes in his favor in you know balls won in the like aerial duels won. He's always in the top there. So I mean, having a veteran like a Troy Deeney come off the bench for a Watford team who's you know striving for you know aspirations of being in the top, you know, it's not a bad thing. And then moving on to United, yeah, we completely bonked on them thinking that they were going to score a couple goals. And they just didn't. They only managed one from an Ashley Young. You know, that was a tipped-in goal that went in. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't – it's not – United's going to score goals. But they're going to come in dribs and drabs. And you're not – you could say you can expect when they're going to do it. And I'd say you're a liar to your face because we don't know when it's going to happen.
What do you think about the United defense this week? Do you think they'll be able to keep out Richarlison and co?
This, believe it or not, this is probably the highlight game of the entire slate. I mean, it's probably the two best teams that are playing against each other. You know, everybody else is playing a lesser value team. Chelsea's playing Swansea, Man City's playing Southampton. You know, but Southampton does have Charlie Austin now, so who knows? Yeah. Liverpool has Stoke, Arsenal has Huddersfield, and Spurs has Leicester. I mean, between Spurs, Leicester, and Watford United, these are probably the two best teams. Trusting United's defense against a Watford team that does score and does score a little bit more at home. I think they're like 1.25 more goals at home on average. So it's a little bit, you know, it's not worrisome, but I wouldn't feel comfortable starting, you know, Antonio Valencia, you know, at his price. I wouldn't be bringing in Antonio Valencia is what I mean. If you're like, oh, I'm going to bring in a United defender. I mean, you're not going to bring him in and say and start with confidence against Watford because of what look at Watford's doing to, you know, comparable opponents in the top, you know, top eight.
Yeah. Worth noting, Watford have more goals than Tottenham, have one fewer than Arsenal, two fewer than Chelsea, three fewer than Liverpool. So when we're talking about Watford being a really good attacking team, that isn't hyperbole or that they're good for their level. They're good, period.
Yeah, we're not talking out of our ass about the Hornets.
Yeah, no. I'm gonna go with a 1-1.
Yeah, that's a good shout. I think both teams score. I just don't think that there's going to be an abundance of goals here. And I think that if you're relying on like a Lukaku to score, I think you're probably going to be sadly mistaken.
Yeah.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Next up is going to be West Brom Newcastle. West Brom, after weeks of doing absolutely nothing, get rid of their manager. And then, surprisingly, no, not a surprise, they set up to defend again. But they did counter more effectively. Usually under Pulis, they'd get the ball and then just not go anywhere with it. At least this time when they were winning the ball back, they would sprint at pace. There's still a lot of talent there that I believe in. Newcastle reeling at the moment. Just as soon as Jamal Lascelles went out, 1 and 2 conceded games started becoming 3s and 4s. Crooked numbers in baseball parlance. Man, I don't know. This seems like two clubs going two directions, to be honest, but I might be putting more weight on West Brom's improvement because they beat the club I like in Tottenham. I don't know. What are your feelings on this one?
This match right here is, these are all like auxiliary parts to your starting 11 here. You know, from the West Brom standpoint, yes, the Rondon goal was kind of fluky, but they'll take it because West Brom just doesn't score at all. They're still set up to defense because that's the talent that they have on the pitch. They're not automatically going to flip the switch and be an offensive team because they just don't have the players there to do it. Newcastle is completely trending the wrong direction after Lascelles' injury. Anybody who's always looking for cheap defenders, keep an eye on Phil Dummett coming back this week. He played well last year in the championship. So at 4.2, he could be a bargain, and everybody's looking for a defensive bargain that gets minutes and is an intrinsically, you know, valuable part to their five man defenders. I don't like this game at all. I mean, from a scoring standpoint, if either team scores, it's probably going to be the winner. So it's probably going to be 1-0. But you could say 1-0 either way, and I'd probably agree with you.
Yeah, I do think this one could kind of get a little out of hand. I think if Newcastle scored first, West Brom getting back into it that way could open things up. That having been said, I think I'm going to be playing Rob Elliott in goal this week.
Yeah, me too.
So hopefully West Brom have some more struggles. Chadley missed the last match through injury, which obviously he would have liked to play in against his old club Tottenham. But they still have options. Matt Phillips started to look good again on the right. Just all of a sudden, names started popping up. You're like, oh, right. Neom looked decent at times. So, this is not a matchup that you want to be investing in right now. But if you're interested in looking at options that you may want to bring in 2 or 3 weeks, I think this one could be really interesting, especially with West Brom potentially getting a more attacking manager. And by potentially, I mean literally getting a more attacking manager, because I can't think of anyone as defensively minded as Tony Pulis. That is the Tuesday fixtures. Then on the Wednesday, we're going to lead in with Arsenal versus Huddersfield. Here's the T-box alert of the day. Alexis is now crawled up into that top five, pushing Wilfried Zaha out, who we mentioned earlier. Scores the penalty today, but would have been up there regardless of that chance, because that does not count as a touch. When you take a penalty, they don't do Ozil, but Aaron Ramsey gets on the sheet again because he earned the penalty. Again, that was kind of dubious, but he's done really well of late. I think I saw somebody saying that his last 5 matches, he has more points than like Ali and other people that are meant to be good. I know you've always been a little iffy on the Ramsey train, but are you buying in on any of these other Arsenal guys?
I mean, the only person, like I said, this is if you have the money to invest in your midfield, Sanchez is a guy I think you could firmly look at here. Like I said in the pregame here, I think Sanchez is on PKs, which I don't think he ever was not on PKs, but I think the only person that he wouldn't take a PK for is maybe Lacazette. If Lacazette drew the foul, I think Lacazette would take the PK. Alexis is a tough pill to swallow because, yes, he's a differential ownership-wise, but it's because of his price solely. I'm not completely buying Ramsey. I just read a report that Ozil is probably out for Wednesday's game. Oof. because of injury. I don't know legitimacy of that, but take it for what it's worth. This is on a Monday, and there is another day in between the game, so news may happen, but lineups locked before that, so just be heady of that. I mean, I'm not really buying too much in Arsenal. They didn't show me enough offensively in the game that we just saw. You know, their defense is what it is. We don't, you know, Kolasinac is owned pretty much universally by everybody. He's owned in 13%, which is a big number. I'm completely on a Byron. They look like a fraudulent team. They like, there's nothing like shining to them. And then in the 92nd minute, they get a penalty kick and then they win it, of course. So, I mean, if that's not the definition, I'm not an Arsenal hater here. I'm an FPL lover.
FPL lover, not fighter.
Yeah. I just don't see anything intrinsically valuable with Arsenal. And that's not me hating on Arsenal.
What about Mustafi, who you kind of upped last week? Obviously, gets another clean sheet.
Yeah, from a defensive standpoint, I think there's value there. Because if you look at their upcoming fixtures after Huddersfield, you have United, and then it kind of completely flattens out for three. You have Southampton, West Ham, Newcastle. Then you go, they're home to Liverpool, and then they're at Crystal Palace. So, I mean, there's long-term investment there on defense, but I wouldn't invest anything more than what you're looking at, you know, in the defense. I wouldn't say, you know what, you need multiple Arsenal players. You wouldn't go multiple defensive Arsenal players either. You wouldn't have Kolasinac and Monreal or Monreal and Mustafi. And I like Mustafi because I think that, you know, doing thing one time is okay, you know, I'll take notice. Do it twice, all right, now he's on my radar. Do it 6 out of 7 times, he's there's something going on there. Mustafi has 6 clean sheets out of 7 games played. So I mean, it's not a freak thing happening that's going on when he plays, that they are, you know, more, you know, stout at the back. So I mean, Mustafi is probably the one ad from Arsenal that if you're looking for a defensive change this week, like you're sitting on Phil Jones and you're getting sick of looking at his red arrow, you know, then Mustafi is the move for you. But I mean, am I going to buy into it completely and sell the cows and bank all my stuff on Schrodan Mustafi? Absolutely not. But it is a trend that he does have a good clean sheet run going when he does play.
Yeah, I think it's 5 and 6 now for him.
I think it's 6 and 7. That's the funny thing.
Well, dang, that's even more better. I do think Arsenal will win this one. Although I just have like a real immediate soft spot for Huddersfield. I think the atmosphere at their match today was fantastic. I do think Arsenal will annoyingly win this one. I'll go 2-0.
Yeah, Arsenal is the better team here. Huddersfield, Huddersfield is exactly what we thought they were when they came up. They really haven't added that much to their offense. They're basically like they're a middle fodder team that is well coached. Basically what they are, and they try not to make their own mistakes to bury themselves. And Arsenal is the better offensive team, so I think 2-0 is an excellent shout. It could be 1-0, and with who's the referee? That's a better question.
Yep, we're gonna move right on from there. Burnley, obviously. The unfortunate victims of that this week. They're playing Bournemouth. Fun fact, I actually brought in Charlie Daniels. I didn't have the cash to get all the way up to Cedric, who was who I really wanted to bring in, because I had been high on Southampton all week, saying, you know, Everton or dog trash, and you should stock up on Southampton guys. Obviously, a lot of Southampton players get in the points. Cedric does not, and then concedes the clean sheet to what was a very good strike by Gylfi Sigurdsson. But fortunately ended up with Charlie Daniels, who obviously keeps the clean sheet in this one. Still an interesting creative force going forward. Burnley continue to be very good. I mean, the Burnley-Arsenal game up until the penalty was the kind of 0-0 match you show your America friends. Mm-hmm. Like, how could it be exciting if there are no goals? Like, that was a very fun match to watch. I would expect the same in this one. Obviously, a lot of people were super hyped about Callum Wilson after last week's hat trick. After this blank, how are you feeling about him?
I'm still confident that he's going to be there, because you know what he got? He still got 79 minutes. So that's the important thing. They're not rotating heads up there. You know, Josh King played and got his minutes, and then Benika Fobe came on for Callum Wilson. So there is that. So I think that it's becoming a trend that we're seeing who's going to play where and why. Defoe now has a red arrow on him, so he probably won't be back for at least this middle week game. So if Callum Wilson is the guy, I mean, and at 6.0 right now with the fixtures upcoming, Burnley, Southampton, Crystal Palace before United, yeah, you're not spending $1,000 to get $1,000 return. You know, you're spending $6 to hopefully get 2 goals out of those 3 fixtures. Which isn't an awful thing to predict. He just scored 3 in 1 game. So if you're looking for 2 over 3 games, you're probably getting a good return on your investment. And then after that, you know, he has United, Liverpool, Man City, and by that time you're probably looking somewhere else and punting. So from that standpoint, listen, Callum Wilson is a lease with an option to trade, to transfer. You're not leasing it to option to buy it, because he's definitely gone by week 17, because there's no way in anybody's head that they're like, oh, I'm going to stick with Callum Wilson for the United, Liverpool, City trio of fixtures in a row before the Christmas buildup. But yeah, like I said, if you can get 2 goals out of these next 3 fixtures, you transfer him out and smile all the way to the bank when you bring in Omar Nias.
Yeah. I still love the Burnley defenders. If you have your Wards or your Mies or your Tarkovskis even, just keep holding on to them. In theory, they should be your third or fourth defender, so you shouldn't have an issue trading them out. But even if you can't, you can still hold them pretty much till the Spurs match right before Christmas. So Bournemouth, Leicester, Watford, Stoke, Brighton. Obviously, the Watford one is the one with the question mark. I think the way Burnley play defense will neutralize Leicester, actually, because they never really come out, which would cut down the opportunities for Leicester to hit them on the break. But anyway, yeah, obviously still like the Burnley defenders. I'm gonna 1-0 for Burnley.
Oh, that's a good one on the road. Yeah, I'll say 1-1. I think they both get on the board. I think somebody scores early and then somebody chases one early in the second half and it ties it up. And then they basically play, you know, vanilla ball for the rest of the way.
Fair enough. Next up is your Blues versus Swansea. You gotta like that. Swansea, the worst attack in the Premier League right now. Chelsea, obviously, 2 clean sheets in the last 3. Only 1 goal conceded in the last 3, which is impressive considering one of those teams is free-scoring Liverpool. You have to feel super confident about this one. I guess the big question is who's gonna actually be playing at key positions. Like, which center back and midfielder do you think is used that people may not know? Because, you know, you have Fabregas versus Bakayoko. You have Christensen versus everybody else. Who do you think we're going to see in this one?
Yeah, I mean, I'll start with the defense. I mean, the thing is Christensen played full 90 and Cahill played as well. So you can't just say there's going to be a flip-flop there. I don't think we see Luis. It may be a Rudiger game. He was warming up, didn't come in as a sub, but he was part of the travel, you know, the 18 that was there. And he was warming up at one point. So I think it's a Christian. If you're looking for 3 members to get in, if you don't own any Chelsea players, the 3 players are Christensen because he's the cheapest entry into a playable defensive option at 5.4. Eden Hazard at 10. Whatever you bought him in at 10.6 he is right now. You're buying him all day because of the upcoming fixtures and what we saw last week is going to continue, hopefully, because of the promise that he's playing lesser teams than Chelsea is basically. And then Alvaro Morata should be owned and should be owned by everyone. He's currently owned by 27%. He makes him one of the top 5 most owned forwards. So, yeah, Alvaro Morata should be owned. Eden Hazard is probably a must. This is the week, if you haven't had a trio of Chelsea players, you should get on that bandwagon now and get 3 players. As far as the Fabregas and Bakayoko thing, I hated what I saw from Bakayoko. I feel like he was always in bad positions, always on the wrong side of playing defense on a guy. And Fabregas came on and the game completely turned over and the game started getting more fluid for them because, as I said a couple weeks leading up to this, that Fabregas is the guy, is the magic man, I'll call him, or the facilitator or the playmaker that Chelsea needs between that ultra defensive wing with Conte and Bakayoko and then up top to Morata, Hazard, Pedro, Willian, whoever's playing up top. It's awfully evident when Fabregas isn't in the game. N'Golo Kanté is constantly in offensive positions that he's not completely comfortable with. He's always seems like he's struggling to find the first ball. Like he's I know he's a great defender, but offensively he struggles. And without Fabregas there, it basically pushes him up the pitch. I'd like to see Fabregas start from the get-go here, and he probably does because he came on as a sub, so he'll probably be a little bit fresher. But with the game against Swansea, you know, this could be a game where you see some, you know, I'd like to see a little bit more of Daniel Drinkwater. I thought he played very well. I'm this is a Fabregas game for me. So, I mean, I'd like to see him from the start. You know, this game should favor Chelsea here. They're going to score. I think they're going to give up a freaky goal, and I kind of want to hear the Wilfred Boney chant from Swansea, but, yeah, but I'll go 3-1, optimistically thinking that Swan scores, but they don't.
Interesting. I think this is going to follow game script pretty similarly to the West Brom match that Chelsea had, where if they score early, this could get sloppy fast. Agree that we would rather see Fabregas, although a little disconcerting that he's played less and less minutes over the last 4 or 5 matches. Even when he was getting the start, he was still getting yanked earlier in the match. But even with that being the state of things and the fact he didn't start at the weekend, still top 3 in chances created with 14. So still capable of creating. It's just, you know, how long is he going to be on the pitch is the main question. If you think he's starting, obviously that makes him an interesting option for them. Like I said, yeah, I think this could be 3 or 4-0. Tammy Abraham obviously can't play against his parent club, and we haven't seen anything really from Boney since he returned. Next up, who can be more disappointing between Everton and West Ham?
Oh, I mean, yeah, I don't know. I mean, the cries for Big Sam in Everton are happening, which is never a good thing.
Which is crazy. Also, he was up for the U.S. job, so I'm really hoping he takes the Everton job.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, this is a game of who could suck worse and be more disappointing. There's literally nobody in this game that I want. The only news that I have is that what's-his-face is hurt. Leighton Baines came out of the game with an injury. There's no way he's going to play. He got a calf injury. So look for like a John Joe Kenny show or, you know, a Cuco Martina show.
But they won't keep a clean sheet, so it kind of doesn't matter.
Yeah, but you don't want anybody. Everton offers nothing offensively. Omar Nias is out one more game because of his suspension. I like what I saw from Gilfie's goal, but he just has nothing going around him. And yeah, he's
scored a goal and then ended the match playing as a left wing back.
Yeah. I don't get it. There's nothing intrinsic about either of these teams. Maybe Emmanuel Lanzini if you want a punt, but this isn't DFS. This is FPL. So you're not looking for a move for 1 week here, and none of these teams offer you anything. This game could be 64-62, and I'd still hate it.
Yeah, just don't think about this match. Just move on with your life. So we will. Well, I don't know, like nil one. Yeah, it won't be nil nil. Neither of them are good enough to keep clean sheets. Well, 1-1.
-2 to -4.
My interest will be -2 and -4. Next up, we have Manchester City, who just continue to run away with the league, although they looked under pressure at times today, versus Huddersfield, who are very well organized, as you mentioned earlier, under David Wagner. They're facing Southampton, who just had easily their best attacking match this season and seemingly in recent memory at all. Charlie Austin retakes his spot at the top of the key. This isn't basketball.
set the pick.
Yeah, with the pick and roll, Charlie Austin scored twice using the triangle. Anyway, Charlie Austin gets a spot back, scores two goals. Considering how much we had seen faltering from Gabby Adini, you assume Austin's going to hold on to that spot. But he does have a history of injury, so they may baby him in this rotation schedule. Are you buying in on Austin yet, or do you want to see a little bit more?
I don't think he's going to start this game only because of the quick turnaround. And Charlie Austin is no spring chicken, especially when it comes to fitness. I love Charlie Austin. Always have, always will. But I think this is either a Shane Long from the start, and then Austin comes on when they realize, oh, we're losing 4-0. But I like Charlie Austin at 6.0. He's added his name to that fray of 6.0 to 5.0 strikers that have that third striker appeal. Listen, two goals from Charlie Austin is awesome, but unfortunately, Manolo Gabbiadini still exists and Shane Long still exists. The only good thing is it's a newer manager, so they don't have the trust of him as much. So Charlie Austin going forward is probably somebody I would look at Southampton. I think it's funny that there was this game. The last game was a Dusan Tadic appearance. Congratulations for that. He'll now disappear into a cedar box somewhere and not come back out for another 2 months. Defensively, Ryan Bertrand looked good, but you know, they had four goals and they played a crap team. So, I mean, you're not bringing a defender in against Man City. You're not trusting Dusan Tadic at his price at 6.3. That's basically Richarlison. So you're not doing that. Yep. And you're not bringing Charlie Austin to play against Man City. Interesting offer Man City, Kev. Now that we may know what the rotation schedule is for Man City, that we saw Aguero start and Jesus come on, you know, after he got like a 12 minutes appearance, what are you expecting a Jesus from the start here?
Yeah, I'm expecting Jesus, but I think Sterling may actually still get the start anyway. But yeah, I think we'll see the Jesus Aguero swap, and then we'll see it again at the weekend. Pep seems fine to bring them on as subs, which is good. Mm-hmm. As we've talked before, you know, 15 minutes can be enough, and it obviously was today with Jesus getting the assist on Sterling's game-winning goal. But yeah, if you're an Aguero owner, I'm going to hold on to him through the week. Just see what happens. The only change that I'm making tactically is I'm just not putting the C anywhere near him, just in case.
This could be if anybody's looking for like a daily play. This could be a Bernardo Silva game.
Mm-hmm. It could be. Yeah, they could play Bernardo instead of Sterling if they wanted to. It would seem harsh after his performance, but we'll see. Yeah. Also of note, we told you about a month ago now to swap your City defensive shares to Chelsea you continue to should have done that. City, yep. Obviously, not keeping a clean sheet yet again this week. I think City will walk this one, but mm-hmm. still let one in. I'll go 3-1.
I think this is the game where they get their clean sheet back at home, 3-0, easy.
Mm. Southampton not very prolific in front of goal.
Nope.
To your point there. Wrapping the week up will be Liverpool and Stoke. Stoke have just been very much a non-entity this season in the Premier League. They have the second worst defense in the Premier League right now, tied with West Ham, which is not something you like. We've already talked about Liverpool's attack, which is, what's that other thing? Good. They're pretty good. Mo Salah on Eric Peters is a nightmare if you're a Stoke fan. Mane on somebody at left back, perhaps Glenn Johnson, is a worse nightmare. Yeah, I think this one's going to get sloppy. Yeah. Also, if you brought in a Liverpool defender to play at home, it was still the right call. Just got unlucky with that Willian strike against Chelsea. Even though they're not at home, I'd still roll them out against the Stoke team that are not very good in attack, although they are still top 10. I think some people may be surprised by that, but obviously you're not mm-hmm. fearing enough goals to go into negative, so still worth a run out for Moreno, who obviously can contribute in an attacking sense as well.
Yeah, this is maybe a buyback game into Firmino if you're looking to strike a differential where people are selling away from. He didn't really feature in the weekend's game, so I think he definitely plays this week against Stoke. Stoke struggle defensively; they can't keep anybody out of their own net. They're like an opposite fisherman, I guess. Mo Salah is the tits. I'll say that. How about that? He's the tits. He should be the most owned player. He should be on everyone's team that is actually paying attention in FPL.
Six goals now in the last five matches.
I'll fully admit that I underestimated him coming into the season. I didn't think he would be this prolific.
Well, you were a Chelsea fan. You had to act as if he wouldn't be good to stay sane.
Well, we developed him for those 13 games that he played for us, and we made Mo Salah great again. I'm trying to. Is there anybody else on Liverpool that are we buying into? Cheer for Adam Lallana coming back. Defensively, I trust him for this game, and then they have a home game after this. So if you're looking to bring in a defender, I think Liverpool's a good tout here.
But I think it's only Moreno because the right back slot is messy.
Well. Yeah, I mean, because you're not bringing in anybody else in there. I mean, you're going to – it's a coin flip between Gomez and TAA. Mm-hmm. And I mean, if you want to maybe trust Matip because he is sort of backish now. You know, he only missed one game because of injury, and then he's played full 90s everywhere else. So there is that. So I think it'd be Moreno 1 and then Matip 2. And then if you guess right, it'd be Gomez or TAA as 3.
Mm. Yeah, I think this one gets sloppy as well. I'm gonna go Liverpool 3-0.
Yeah, this is that game after. Remember how Stoke played United really well, and then they went out the next game and lost 5-0 to who the hell was that to? I'm trying to think who it was to.
Oh, Huddersfield.
Wait, was it Huddersfield?
No, that was Manchester United.
Hold on, timeout. Making for good TV.
Team timeout.
Team Titans. Where was it? United. Oh, it was Chelsea. They lost 4-0. Mm. It was two games after that, but that's exactly what's going to happen. And they were home. Same thing.
There you go.
Yeah, it's exactly what's going to happen. It's going to be 4-0. Liverpool. Salah's going to have 2. Firmino's going to have 1. And then Dejan Lovren's going to have
or like a Lallana creep back.
Or an Eric Peters own goal.
There you go. We can wrap up the show as usual. Are you planning on making any changes? And if not, would you advise people to hold on to their free transfer this week?
There's two words of advice for this week. If you have a team of a full 11 that doesn't have one rotation risk or one question mark about playing like their opponent, if you don't feel strongly enough, if that guy isn't the favored player in that matchup, yes, you can hold on to your transfer and just bank it. But if you have a matchup where the guy is questionable and he's not really on the front foot in the matchup, then I would probably suggest making a change to something positive, bring in a Chelsea player that you don't own, bring in a Liverpool player you don't own, bring in a positive defender that has a great matchup or a great two or three matchups. Bournemouth, Chelsea, Liverpool are the names that jump out. And yes, I did make, I already made a move. I actually made two moves because I'm stupid and I like doing stuff and I'm on the back foot with my team. I've had two bad weeks in a row. I basically transferred out David Silva and Christian Eriksen, and I went Eden Hazard and Richarlison. Richarlison has two tough matches in a row, but I don't care because I think he's still going to get his, and only because I wanted Hazard. So I, that's the reason I got rid of Silva and Eriksen. To me, Hazard looks like a blossoming flower, and I want to pick it a lot.
Fair enough. I'm going to hold on to my transfer this week. After last week's what looked like a defensive nightmare ended up being minutes away from me getting triple sixes at the back. I'm just going to roll with them again. The opponents this week going to be Stoke, Burnley, and Bournemouth. Not too terrified by any of those. My midfield five, I'm just going to roll out every match for now. Sterling, Eriksen, Richarlison, Gross, and Salah. Then Aguero and Kane up front. I know Aguero might not play. So I'm just going to, like, I may shore up my bench a little bit, but I think I'm just going to stand pat. And then after this week, decide whether or not I want to keep Aguero or Eriksen. I'm giving Eriksen an extra week stay of execution just because I know that he can just make anything happen at any time. And while statistically he has not been very good for the last five matches, to me, that implies that he might be about to be good for five matches. But time will tell there. Kane's going to wear the armband for me again this week. I think if I had a second pick, I'd put it on Salah against Stoke. We'll just kind of see how I feel as we get closer.
Yeah. Captain for me is Hazard or Morata for me, right? Because I still own Aguero, but I don't, like you said before, I wouldn't trust to put the C or the V on him.
Yeah. Yeah. It just seems a little dangerous knowing how much Pep likes rotating us forwards, especially now that he's quoted as saying such. This is obviously a little bit shorter, but we hope you enjoyed this slightly different format. Just felt it was only right to get something out to you. We're still going to aim to record Wednesday after the matches. That's the plan for now anyway. Don't hold us to it, though, because sometimes we lie to you when we make strong statements. So this is a very strong maybe. But
we're fibbers. Big time fibbers.
In the interim, Rob, where can they reach you?
You can find me on Twitter at FPL_MNOP, or you can find my writings and stylings on rasball.com.
Yeah, and I'm your other host, Kevin DeVries. You can find my fantasy writings over at goal.com. Check out all of our EPL roundtables and championship roundtables. Also, we're going to try to do a VIP bet DFS stream tomorrow. We can tweet out when that's meant to be if you're interested in that. But best of luck to your team this midweek, and hopefully we'll speak to you soon.
Peace.